notifications on my phone that Uber was highly unethical, if not broke laws, tried to secretly lobby governments, drivers, just the amount of things that I think were already kind of profiled in the Joseph Gordon-Levitt show, Super Pumped. Right. And for anyone, so I lived in San Francisco at the rise of Uber. I remember in San Francisco, when I graduated from college, in the 2010, 2011, it was impossible to get a cab. Like, it was so hard to get around San Francisco because cabs would come. They'd give you 20 seconds once they gave you the call that they were outside your house. You had next to no time to get out there before they left you. They would, you know, make you pay cash. It was all these kind of, like, stupid things. San Francisco was not Chicago or New York when it came to cabs and trying to get around. And so the advent of Uber, especially when it was first black cars, all of a sudden it was this reliable service that
cheaper.
It was about the same price at first because it was before individual people with their own cars could be drivers. It was actually black car drivers. And I remember all of us immediately adopted it because there was such a need in San Francisco for it. And then obviously then there was Lyft that was having, it was also a San Francisco company that was having people drive their own cars. Then Uber took that advantage. And now there was always these rumblings when we lived there of what the culture at Uber was like, where it was super intense, it was super competitive, it was kind of a Trumpian, right? It was like, we don't lose. Like, the culture of do anything to win was very much embedded into that company. That was kind of just a known thing in Silicon Valley.
Win at all costs.
Win at all costs. And there's profiles about Travis Kalanick, who was the CEO, that was his mentality. So now, over the weekend, over 124,000 confidential documents were leaked to The Guardian, and it lays pretty bare the ethically questionable practices the company used from 2013 to 2017 to just massively quickly expand throughout the globe. And some of that includes Travis Kalanick had a meeting with Vice President Joe Biden at the time, who then changed his speech at Davos, basically saying like how great Uber was for workers because of flexible hours. President Macron from France promised to intervene after a French official banned Uber in Marseille. They used technology to thwart police raids. They were channeling money through tax havens in Bermuda. And they were also courting now sanctioned Russian oligarchs.
Oh, dear.
So
on top of everything.
So it kind of matters because I guess it's like we've always known that it was more, it's just more proof of how corrupt Uber was. Their response was basically, the company's official response was, we have not and will not make excuses for past behavior that is clearly not in line with our present values. Instead, we ask the public to judge us by what we've done over the last 5 years and what we will do in years to come.
So I cheated on you for the first 5 years of our marriage, but I think we should move past that now.
And now that we're a dominant force globally.
Now everything's fine and you should just forgive me. I guess I'm not surprised because I question how much ethics any company depends upon in order to get what they want.
And that was kind of my larger question. And if people have thoughts on this, give us a call, 844-967-2789, because does it matter? Like this, you know, this was treated as all the news alerts were coming out, the super provocative, really big deal. And it is a big deal. 124,000 confidential documents released to journalists is a big deal. But at this point, have they become so dominant and ubiquitous in how we travel that it doesn't, no one's really going to change their consuming patterns? Like, am I going to delete Uber off my phone and just use Lyft? I mean, maybe I would do that. But is the average person? I don't know.
I don't think so. Because for one thing, I think there is so much news that particular news about Uber is only going to reach so many people.
Yeah.
And I also think that, as you said, it's so ubiquitous and it's so convenient. And I think we've learned, especially over the last couple of years of the pandemic, just how selfish we are as people. Not willing to mask up, not, you know, things like that, that I don't see us acting too often anymore for the greater good, unfortunately. It's like, this is convenient for me. I need this service. I don't care what they did. That doesn't affect me. I'm going to call an Uber anyway.
Yeah. That's kind of how I feel, too, because I think about that whenever I can't think of the journalist. It's an independent journalist on Twitter who will consistently, whenever bad actors or Roe v. Wade, different policies that come down that feel very unpopular, he will print out on Twitter and do a thread of all of the companies that have donated to the lawmakers who just passed said bill.
Right.
And, you know, the top of there is always like AT&T, Home Depot, some other really big companies. And the tweet thread itself will get thousands, like tens of thousands of likes and retweets. And I always wonder, because I look at the list and then I go, am I going to stop using these companies even when it's like, well, this is the most convenient thing to do right now?
I think we're more about convenience than we are about ethics.
Is that just the human condition, or is that a cultural thing?
I think it's a very cultural thing.
Do you think it's better in other countries?
I think that there are other countries, yes, where looking out for the greater good is a far bigger ethos than it is here.
Well, let us know what you think. Are you going to stop using Uber just because it's a bad company? And
naughty,
the stuff that they,
naughty.
The naughty company. Let us know. 844-967-2789. And when we come back, do you know what the Secretary of State does?
I have a couple of guesses.
All right, we'll talk about that next. As goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.